This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Today will be the last day in the book of Daniel. It is also day 12 of our 21-day fast. I hope that you are continually faithful to lay down the things that you committed to the Lord during this 21 days. At the end of this message, we are going to take up a special offering. So when we conclude this message today at the end of the service, before we do communion, we are going to take up a love offering for the Griggs family. If you do not know, Jessie Griggs is 34 years old, and she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and it's aggressive and it's spreading, and the only option that she has is to go homeopathic and natural medicine is not covered by insurance, so we are going to take up an offering to help them. They have 4 children that, you know, it'll be a challenge either way. 4 children, the youngest being 9 weeks old this week, and so I hope that you have been praying and asking God what you can do and how you might be able to be a part of just ministering to them as a church family and loving them. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to love them. And just to show them that we're here for them and that they matter to us. Today we are finishing the book of Daniel. And so if you are reading with me as I preach through these books, we're going to start the book of Colossians next week. So next week, as I start the book of Colossians, I would encourage you to start reading through the book, at least like through the whole book, at least one time through, maybe a couple days through. Read it like a letter. Because when the Apostle Paul wrote these letters. They're actually like, if I were to write you a letter, you wouldn't read a chapter today and then pick up the next page tomorrow and then read the next. You know, read it in one sitting. Try to do that a couple times before we start the book, and then we'll break it all down. But I would encourage you to do that. In Daniel chapter 12, what we're seeing here is a picture of the last days. These things are to come. Things that we have not faced yet. Things that we have not experienced. And hopefully, if my theology is correct, we won't go through those. We will actually be raptured out if you're truly a part of the body of Christ, and you won't experience the things that we're about to see. Because these are the days of tribulation. What we see in chapter 12 are some very difficult times for the Jews and for the world. So we're going to pick it up in Daniel chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." The opening words of chapter 12, "at that time," refer to the outcome of God's covenant people during this period of reign in which the Antichrist has established himself as the world ruler. We saw that in chapter 11, verses 40 through 45. He has risen up on the scene. And he has established himself as a world ruler. During the closing verses of chapter 11, what we saw was his military and political influence. We saw the rise of what he was doing internationally. But what we didn't see was how he related to God's people. And so these next verses really reflect how the children of Israel are characterized in his policies. We see brutal oppression and persecution. There's a severity in this tribulation that the world has never seen before that will be poured out on Israel. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, 21, "For then," speaking of this end days, "there will be a great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world." There will be a time of hatred and murder and crime that we can't even imagine. I don't want to be here. And I don't want you to be here either. For there will be a great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. It'll be a one-time deal. This tribulation will be hellacious. It'll be unbelievable. No doubt, when the revelation was given to Daniel in chapter 12, he was concerned. But Daniel was always concerned about his people. He had compassion for, not just about himself. I mean, it'd be easy to think, well, where am I going to be? What's going to happen to me? How does this affect me? But he was never looking at himself. One of the great truths of true Christianity, if you're really going to be a Christ follower, we are called to be selfless. We live in a culture where people tend to only think about themselves. We think about how this is going to affect me, how my job's going to affect me, how the decisions I make are going to affect me, how everything affects me. But if you're truly going to follow Christ, you've got to get your eyes off yourself. One of the defining marks of a true Christ follower is that he doesn't think about himself. He doesn't beat himself up because that's just false humility. Oh, poor little me. I never do this. I never do that. I'm worthless. He doesn't think, look at me, how great I am. Man, I'm glad I'm not like those other sinners. A true Christ follower doesn't think about himself at all. His focus is always on others and the ministry that the Lord has given him. His focus is on Jesus, not himself. And we see that in Daniel. He's concerned about what's going to happen to the children of Israel. So at the conclusion of this vision that started in chapter 10, the angel consoled Daniel by revealing two facts that we see in verses 1 through 3. The first fact is that the people of Israel, he says, your people will be delivered through the intervention of Michael, the archangel. Now, he has always been a protector of the children of Israel. God must have allotted him or assigned him to the children of Israel. We see in Jude that he had a confrontation with Satan over the body of Moses. So for some reason that we really don't know, but I believe that it was God established authorities and provisions. Like, I think there are angels that protect us against the demonic warfare that goes on in our lives. And I believe that Michael, the archangel, was assigned to the children of Israel. Because he shows up here in this chapter for a purpose. So first, I believe that he will deliver because he is Israel's defender, the children of Israel. So in this great tribulation, Satan will attempt, which he has done many times, to exterminate every descendant of Abraham. Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. And this will be a time of great distress and persecution. His attack on the people of Israel will be a part of his efforts to prevent the return of Christ. He's trying to keep Jesus from establishing that millennial kingdom. And his attack will be, man, it will be everything that we can imagine. But the deliverance of Israel assured Daniel. Daniel was resting in that because he knew that not everyone would be saved, but a remnant would. God has always saved a piece of Israel. And he'll do that again in the end. I mean, if you think about the church, we talk about the church. But the church began with Jewish believers, a remnant on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just all Gentiles that make up the church, even though now, you know, we see all of us as Gentiles. But the early church was established and started with the Jews. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't Gentiles hanging out. It was all the Jews who had gathered for that celebration, that heard the gospel and repented of the sins. The second fact that consoled Daniel was the promise that those who sleep will be resurrected. Some to everlasting contempt, and some to reign in the kingdom. That's encouraging. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says that those who sleep in the dust of the earth will raise and they'll serve with the Lord for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. When somebody dies as a believer, we say they're asleep because we've already crossed over from death to life. That's what Jesus said in John 5:24. He says, if you hear my words and believe him who sent me, you've already crossed over from death to life. There's an experience that takes place the moment that we believe, where Christ comes in us and we are in him, and that eternally secures us. So when we, what we call die, even though our bodies die, our soul's still alive. Our spirit lives forever. So we're not really dead, we're just asleep. Now, some people believe in what we call soul sleep. And I don't agree with soul sleep, because that means the soul would be asleep, but the soul is alive because you're already in Christ. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you look at the whole makeup of man, in the garden, God was stretching his mind. He gave him the animals to name. He was stretching his emotions. He gave him a woman to love so he could learn how to feel. And he was stretching his volition, his will, by giving him a choice. But of course, when Adam sinned, everything was darkened. The mind, the will, and the emotions, hatred festered up. Some people struggle so much with their emotions. And that's why God has called us to live by faith, so that we don't live by our feelings. It's not that we don't acknowledge our feelings, but we don't live by them. We have to learn to walk by faith and not by what we feel, because if you live by what you feel, your feelings are degenerate. They've been darkened by the fall and you can't trust them. But if you walk by faith, you'll live God's word, which means you'll follow God's will, because his will and his word always go together. So it's critical for us as believers that we learn that. And Daniel, man, his feelings would have said, oh, we're hopeless. We're ruined. There's nothing we can do. But he was walking by faith. Now, he was curious, even though he was walking by faith, how's this going to turn out? What's going to happen? And he had questions. Verse 3 says, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Those who are wise, who understand the signs of the time, will shine like the brightness of the stars. Now, what's the difference between understanding and being wise? You can understand the signs of the time. You can have knowledge, but not be wise. There are many people who know a lot about Scripture, who know a lot about the Word of God, who know a lot about God, but are not wise. You can have all kinds of knowledge. You can have earthly understanding and not have wisdom. Because wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding together. You see, wisdom takes knowledge and puts it with understanding and then lives it out and applies it. Wisdom comes from God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without finding fault. But you got to turn to God. You're not going to figure it all out yourself. You can't get a grip on it without his help. These prophecies and mysteries, nobody could understand these without God. So the message here is that God will remember his covenant people. And not only will he remember them, but those who believe and understand and have wisdom shall turn and start preaching the gospel. And they'll help others to come into the kingdom. I mean, look at the beginning of verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Look, when you understand, that this life is temporary, and you apply God's truths to your life so that you live them out, you are wise. And if you understand that this life is temporary and what really matters is where people end up eternally, when you grasp that, when you really come to that truth, when you set your heart on helping people to know the gospel, because the gospel is our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. And because you have true wisdom from God, you understand that I need to be about His business. Not about my business, not about my life, but about His life. And when you do that, man, God rewards you. You shine. No act of righteousness is ever forgotten by God. It's always rewarded to the faithful. And these faithful will suffer persecution, many of them giving up their lives for Jesus Christ. The resurrection of believers martyred in the tribulation will occur at the second coming of Christ. At the second coming of Christ. Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 says, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The unbelieving dead, however, will be resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years. Revelation 20 verse 5. And they will be judged and condemned for all eternity. Every person you meet, every person you know, is either going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. I mean, you got to think about that. Eternally separated from God. Eternally separated from all love, all peace, all joy, all goodness, in darkness, in suffering, in pain. And our mission, our calling while we're here is to be a light in a dark place. It's to let the world see Jesus, that they might come to know Jesus, because He's our only hope. Our job is to let Him shine. Understandably, Daniel couldn't comprehend all this. There's no way that he could understand all these prophecies, all that was being said, all that was going on. People today, we can look back over history and we can see how Daniel prophesied these kingdoms and how they took place and how they unfolded. And we can see the war between the four generals that took place. We can look back and understand many of the stuff that took place, but we can't understand it all. So the angel tells Daniel to seal up these words, meaning to keep them intact, to put them away. Because when he says knowledge will increase, people will learn and gain insight as the times go closer. And as they look to these prophecies, they'll learn and they'll prepare themselves for what will be. This tribulation that will take place, that is poured out on the earth, is something that nobody wants to be a part of. The only problem is if people don't know Jesus, they will be a part of it. And they will suffer through it. And so your job, my job, isn't to see how much money we can make while we live here. It's not to see how high we can climb. It's not to see how many houses we can own. It's not to see how many countries we can visit. Our job while we're here is to reach people for Christ. I mean, even Jesus, while he was here, his last words to his disciples in Matthew are, go into all the world and make disciples. A disciple is a follower of Christ. You can't make a disciple without sharing the gospel. And the gospel is simple. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that he died in our place, that he was the substitutionary atonement. And that through him we could be forgiven, that all of our sins could be washed away. And because of what he did for us, we could be saved for all eternity by putting our faith in him. Our job is to get that message out. Our job is to share that with our neighbors and our co-workers and our family and our friends. Our job is to look for opportunities to be a witness. The question that Daniel has is, how long will this last? How long will it last? In verse 3 and 4, it says, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We live in a technological age that is beyond my comprehension. I will never understand how somebody can pick up a phone here in the United States and talk to somebody in China without a wire. Now, when I was a kid, I understood you picked up the phone, it had a wire, it went into the wall, and I knew that wire went somewhere. And I figured that wire traveled all the way from here to China, somehow, under the ocean maybe, I don't know. But now you have a wireless device that you can pick up and talk to somebody all the way across the world. I'll never understand how that works. I don't understand how you get Wi-Fi from here to there. I don't know how it all flies through the air. And now they got these things called the cloud. Yeah, clouds have always been things I've seen in the sky. That's what I thought. And now they got stuff. They said, you can put that in the cloud. It doesn't make sense to me. Knowledge is at an all-time high. Technology is advancing. When Jesus comes back, the whole world will see him. Because you could see stuff right now that's happening in China and Russia, Korea, all at the same time. 50 years ago, or maybe 75, people were sitting around listening to a radio, using their imaginations. And then there was the TV set. And now there's the internet. It's crazy. And I think we're on the precipice of it all. So how long will this last? That's Daniel's question. That's my question. That's, I think, what people want to know. How long will this tribulation last? How long will it take till God sets up his kingdom? Don't you want Jesus to come back? Man, I wish Jesus would come back right now. Then I wouldn't have to finish this message. I wish Jesus would come back and take us home with him. Because you know what? Then there'd be no more pain. There'd be no more suffering. There'd be no more lying, no more hurt, no more deceit, no more anger, no more hate. Man, love and joy and peace will fill our lives for all eternity. We can't even imagine that because we've never experienced it. It's hard to imagine something you've never experienced. And you've never experienced a life filled with love and joy and peace and goodness. We get a taste of that right here and right now by allowing the Spirit of God to live through us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So we get a glimpse at that. But we're so in and out of the flesh, like we're in the Spirit, then we're in our flesh, then we're in the Spirit, we're in our flesh. So it's just little pieces at a time. But when Christ comes, it'll be for all eternity. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Isn't that good news? Verse 5 says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on the side of the bank of the stream, and one on the bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the streams, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Now, this section, verses 5 through 13, include two requests. One by an angel, and then one by Daniel. Two angelic replies follow. The first request is found in verses 5 and 6. And the answer is found in verse 7. The second question is in verse 8, and the second reply is in verses 9 through 13. Evidently, two angels had attended this messenger, this angelic messenger that some believe was Gabriel. One of the angels across the river, remember there, if you remember back in chapter 10, he's standing at the Tigris, and there's a bank, and he's on one side, and there are two angels, one on each side of the bank. The one clothed in linen was standing next to another angel. And he asked, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? These wonders probably refer to the events recorded in chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. That is the rise of this Antichrist. The rise of this Antichrist has caused questions even in the heavens. So the angel is curious too. Because look, angels don't know everything. They only know what they see. They do not have unlimited knowledge. You need to understand that. Therefore, Satan does not have unlimited knowledge. He doesn't know how it's all going to end. He thinks he can thwart God. He can overcome him. He doesn't know that we've read the book and we've got the... Now look, he knows the book and he sees how it's supposed to end, but he's trying with all of his might and power to overcome that. Angels have limited knowledge. They are not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. You're not going to get to heaven and know everything. I know that's sad for some of you. You thought, man, I'm not going to be as dumb as I am now, am I? No, hopefully you'll be smarter than you are now. Maybe, right? You don't know. But the one angel cries out to the angel in linen, which could be Gabriel, but we're not sure, so we're not going to call him Gabriel. How long will these last? And the wonders are probably pertaining to Israel and the final occupation of the Antichrist. He wants to know how long will this last. So Daniel 7 answers that question. And I heard the man clothed in linen above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. So here he is looking up toward heaven. And swore by him who lives forever. So help me God. He makes a proclamation. He swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time. Remember, that's a year. Times, that's 2 years and a half a time. 1 + 2 equals how much? Man, you guys are slow this morning. Somebody better get some caffeine. 1 + 2 = 3, right? And a half a times would be a half a year. So we believe that this is a half a year, 3.5 years. A time and a times and a half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. So the shattering is when the people of Israel, when their destruction will come to an end. All right, let me read this all together because I want you to get this. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, a times, and a half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. The angel answered the inquiring angel by saying, that these events will be finished or fulfilled in 3.5 years. Though the final ruler will reign, we believe, for 7 years, the first half will be legitimately or reasonably peaceful for Israel. Because according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he will enter into a covenant with Israel, asking and arranging for peace. Look, the whole world is watching Israel. And there has been for centuries war with Israel. They're fighting over land. They're fighting over beliefs. They're fighting over everything. And some smart guy is going to rise his way, work his way to the top, and he's going to say, you know what? Enough is enough. Enough of the Muslims hating the Christians and hating the Jews. Enough of all this stuff. And he's going to arrange a peace treaty where he unites his kingdom and agrees with Israel. And then Israel will sit back. Look, they've got one of the strongest military forces there is. They've always been ready and prepared, but they're going to relax. They're going to sit back because now they enter into this peace treaty. Now they won't sit back immediately because there's a 3.5 year trial period before all this thing turns havoc. But then the king of the south and the king of the north will invade Israel, according to 1140. We saw that last week. After destroying these two armies, the Gentile king, which is the Antichrist, will move into Israel, occupying the land. He will set up his political and religious headquarters in Jerusalem, proclaiming himself to be God. Chapter 11, verse 41 and verse 45. He will reign as king over Israel, and there will be great persecution. Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 through 7. Israel's power will be broken by his ruthlessness. Israel will be a land of unwalled villages, according to Ezekiel 38:11. It says, without walls and without gates and bars. Ezekiel 38:11. Israel will rest. And when they are resting, because they are in this covenant, it will turn on them like a twinkling of an eye. And when it does, there will be great destruction. Daniel, verse 8 says, I heard, but I did not understand. He's in shock. I mean, you got to understand. These are the people that he loves. Could you imagine, like, you're a husband. Let's go that way, like me, right? And I have a family, let's say, of four. And all of a sudden, you know, I come home and somebody's waiting there for me. And I know that the kids and the wife go to the movies and they're having a good time. And then somebody walks up and says, hey, are you Mr. Collins? Yes, I'm Mr. Collins. They're waiting for me at my house. And there's a police car out front. And I said, what's going on? And your wife and kids were killed tragically in a car accident. Can you imagine hearing that kind of news? The unbelief, the shock, the denial. Daniel is looking at his family, his children, the people that he loves. And he's seeing the devastation. And he's in shock. I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, I empathize with them. Some things in life, when they come at you, they're hard to understand. Look, I've been wrestling in prayer with God. I mean, wrestling with God over this thing with Jesse. Just because, you know, I know her. And I know JR. And I see that, you know, her dying is a very, very good reality, a very close thing that can happen. Scary. And it's hard, and I'm wrestling with God. I'm like, God, I want my will. I want to see her live. I want to see her healed. I want to see you do a miracle, but I know that ultimately it doesn't matter what my will is. It's your will that prevails. And I trust you, God. I need to trust you, and I do. That whatever happens, you have a purpose that I can't understand. That I can't comprehend because I am limited in my knowledge. And you have to remember that when you face hard times, that we are limited, that we don't see it all. And no matter what we face, no matter how hard it seems, God has an ultimate plan. His purpose is unique. And he allows what he allows for a greater good. Even though we can't understand it because we are limited. We are not infinite in our knowledge. We are very finite. We have to remember that we don't know as much as we think we know. Actually, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. The more I realize that, God, I just have to trust you. That I don't understand why people do stupid stuff. I don't understand that. I don't understand why people make choices they make. I look and I think, what is wrong with you? But I realize that I will never know. That it's in God's hands, and I have to my job, your job, is to trust him when you face life's adversities. And then to realize that through the adversity, God is shaping you. And he's making you into the man or the woman that he has created you to be. And a part of the fires and the trials and the hurt and the pain is him rubbing off edges. It's him shaping and moving and molding. So that we will become who he wants us to be. So Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall the outcome of these things? Now, oh, my Lord is not a term of lordship. It's a term of respect, like, yes, sir. He's paying respect to this angel because it's not Jesus. He says, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Listen, there are things that you're going to ask God, that you're going to cry out to God for, and he's not going to tell you. And that's okay. You're not supposed to know everything. I'm not supposed to know everything. So things happen and you say, why me, God? And I say, why not? Why not you? We don't deserve anything. So when you're crying out to God and saying, why me? Remember, why not you? Why shouldn't it be you? Do you really think that you're better than everybody else? That you deserve more than everybody else? The truth is, you're undeserving and unworthy of all good things, just like I am. None of us deserve anything good. So instead of saying, why me, say, God, teach me through this. Change me through this. Show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me that I might learn who you are. Because your knowledge of God will change your perspective on everything. Daniel wants to know, but the angel says, hey, just shut up the book, seal them, keep them intact. People will know later, but right now it's not the time. So later there were even more tribulations, more prophecies that will come about the end times. You can read Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they're later, but their words are about the prophecies and the times of the end, but Daniel wants to know. And the angel says, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. Isn't that funny? That the people who are wise, because they do have insight, know that they need to apply the knowledge. But those who are wicked, those who don't, never understand. It's like they never get it. It's like you can tell them till the cows come home, but they just don't get it. It's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Look, trying to beat somebody up with the Bible will never change them. Pleading with them, begging with them to come to know Jesus won't bring them to Jesus. The greatest tool you have is to get down on your knees and cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. I love this person. I want to see them know you. Open their eyes. Give them a desire to love you and know you. Open their ears that they might hear the truth. That's the greatest weapon you have. So get on your knees and then look for opportunities to share truth, not beating them with the word of God, but lovingly displaying the love of Christ. But the wise shall understand. And from that time, the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. That equals 42 months, 3.5 years from the point of the desolation, which I believe will happen in the middle of the tribulation. I think there'll be peace, and then I think there'll be a turn, and then I think there'll be war, all-out war. It doesn't mean everything will be completely peaceful in the first 3.5 years, but it'll be relatively peaceful. The wicked will continue in their wickedness, following and worshiping the Antichrist. They will follow him, and those who are wise will turn from him. Yes, many of them will lose their lives. They will die during this time, refusing to follow and worship the Antichrist. And I hope that if you're around and this all happens, that you refuse to worship and follow the Antichrist. Hopefully you'll put your faith in Jesus and trust him for your salvation. Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. When that is established, the reader needs to understand that the time is at hand, that they need to run and they need to hide and they need to turn to Jesus. Now look, we're not seeing the abomination that brings desolation, but this culture is abominable. I mean, you look at our culture right now, whoever thought we would live in a time where men can marry men? Whoever thought we live in a time where rape and abortion and murder would be so high? It's unbelievable what our culture is like. You got all these riots going on in Charlotte, people kneeling at the national anthem. Our whole country is in turmoil. And when you watch the debates, it's hilarious. It's like watching Saturday Night Live. It's like comical when you watch these two. It's insane. It's sad. We need to be praying, and I hope that during this fast, you are on your face, and I hope that it won't end when October the 11th comes. I hope you'll continue to pray and fast for our nation and for the church to be the church and to stand up before the world and to make a difference. Because we are the light. We're the salt of the earth. And it's our job to look for those opportunities and to make it happen. The angel said that 1,290 days will be measured off from the time of the daily sacrifices when it's abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. That will be a time and a times and a half a time, which is 3.5 years. So Daniel 12:12 says, blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days, but go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand, I love this, in your allotted place at the end of days. Now, people say, well, if it's 1,290 days, why is it 1,335 days? How come it changes from verse, 11 to verse 12? Well, blessing is pronounced for those who wait and live to see the end of the 1,335 days. And yes, there are 45 additional days beyond the 1,290 days of verse 11. So 45 days after the end of the tribulation, Israel awaits and enters into the millennial kingdom. Now, there are different theories. There are different beliefs. Some people believe that because Jesus promised that he would return and that he would be seen in the clouds, that that would happen before the end of the tribulation. People say that when Jesus appears, he talked about in Matthew 24:30, that he would actually come and he would touch down just for a moment at the Mount of Olives, because he promised it in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. They believe there's a 45-day period from then till the end. Matthew 24:30 says, at that time, the sign, they believe that it's a sign, of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth. Oops, sorry, I thought I put it on the screen. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now, this is not the Battle of Armageddon, according to Revelation 20, because he comes on a horse. There's a difference. So most scholars believe that he will appear as a sign that the end is nigh or near. Some people believe that this is just for hope. That the 45 days is the ushering in of the new kingdom, the millennial kingdom. I don't know which way it is, because I don't really care. Because all I know is Jesus is coming back. That's all I care about. And I'm encouraged that Daniel will stand in his allotted place. Why? Because he was faithful. I believe that all of us will, as true believers, serve in the Lord's kingdom. And I believe our positions in our lives will be about how we lived our lives here. And I know I want to be found faithful. And I want you to be found faithful. Faithful like Daniel, to be a witness before the world. Daniel was God's faithful witness. No matter what he faced, whether it was the lion's den, whether it was prayer, he stood strong, trusting in Jesus. And that's what I desire for us as a body of Christ, that we would stand strong. And that we would love God enough to say, God, I trust you. Do you think Daniel was scared when they were tossing him into that lion's den? I think there might have been some natural fear. Like, whoa, all right, God, I hope all this stuff I believe is real. Now, I don't know if it was that drastic. But I think there would be some natural fear, because knowing that either way God was going to deliver him, either he was going to get eight, which would be painful, so that would be a little scary. Like, oh, I hope this is quick, God. I hope they eat me quick so I can look into your eyes, or you're going to deliver me. I don't know how, because I doubt he came up with the thought of an angel showing up to shut the mouths of the lion. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought, all right, this is it. Here I come, Jesus. That's what I would have thought. Here I come. I hope this is quick and painless. But even if it's painful, I know it'll be over soon. And that's what I want you to remember. That when life is painful, it'll be over soon. When life is painful, it's all going to be over soon. This life is just, it's flying by and it's passing right before our eyes. But no matter what you're facing, you have to remember that it's going to be over soon. We're only here for a little while. And while we're here, our job is to be a witness and an example of what it means to trust God. That's our job.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.